Good morning, and here's your in Jesus' name this morning. It's a privilege to be here to worship with you all. I want to extend my sympathies to you grandchildren and those of you who have lost your family member. We are praying for you and wish you God's blessing. Thank you for that devotional, Adrian. I appreciated that very much. It's one of my favorite stories from Acts as well. And I love verse 13. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Peter and John were just passing on what they had received, right? That contagious message of the gospel. Appreciated that thought this morning. I was inspired by that. Do I have inside so that I can give out to other people? Or is it something I need to manufacture? I was challenged by that. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, we again want to come before you, give this time to you. Lord, I pray that you would guide our hearts, guide our thoughts, and I pray that your spirit would be here among us as you've promised. I pray that I would not add to or take away from your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Reynolds led this song as a request from me. It's become a favorite song of mine. I used it for a theme song down in Mississippi here a couple weeks ago. I just think the message of this song is so beautiful and so challenging to me and to all of us. And I want us to think about the words in this song this morning. So I want to use the first phrase there in the title, "Muse, O My Soul," as a title for a message this morning. Muse, O My Soul. Well, we don't use the word muse very often anymore, do we? Muse means to become absorbed in thought, especially to think about something carefully and thoroughly. Musing is more than a daydream, sitting in a chair, looking out the window, just letting our mind run in circles. That's not what musing is. And the writer of this song, John D. Martin, maybe some of you know him, is calling our minds, drawing our minds to a theme in this song. He's telling us to muse about something. What is that that he is calling us to muse about? He's calling us to muse of our narrow span of time that we have. The little bit of time that we have, I'd intended to bring an hourglass along. I have one that sits on my desk. Sometimes it's good to just flip that thing over and watch the sand run through it. It just reminds us that our lives are like that sand going through the glass. We get caught up in the everyday things of life. One day just turns into the next and we're busy. Weeks go by in a blur and we forget that our time here on this earth is just short. It's very brief. When John was writing this song, if you look at the bottom of this paper, it says, "This song expresses the devotional message entitled Time that 18-year-old Jeffrey gave at Shippenburg Christian Fellowship 2 weeks before his death." Jeffrey was John's son, and Jeffrey was killed in a car accident very suddenly, 18 years old, just gone from this earth. His time was over. And 2 weeks before his death, he had given a devotional at church, and a lady had took careful notes, and John went back to her and got those notes, and that's the words he used for this song with some arrangements. If you look at the top right-hand side, Jeffrey wrote the tune for this song. So after his death, his dad put words to music that Jeffrey had written. If you think about an 18-year-old boy, just gone from this earth. It seems so young to us, but life is short no matter how long it is, isn't it? It doesn't matter if it's few breaths that a baby takes or if it's an older person. The time we have here on this earth is short. And that's what this song is to remind us of. Muse, O my soul, set thy heart now to ponder thy narrow span of time. Look to thy end, let eternity yonder speak to thee in thy prime. Jeffrey, an 18-year-old boy, in his prime, full of life, full of vigor, full of energy, taken from this earth. That's what this second line is calling us to think about, our end, to think about our mortality. We have a mortal body. This body will decay, but we have an immortal spirit that never dies, that lives on in eternity. These bodies that we have are just simply tents for that spirit. And then we will someday have our real body or our new body. We're looking forward to that day. The Bible compares our lives to some very brief things. In 1 Chronicles, it compares our life to a shadow. Very fleeting. Just when the light's shining just right, that's when we have a shadow. And it's gone. Psalms 103 compares our life to a flower and also compares it to grass. Grass grows up, it's cut, it blows away, and that's the end of it. James compares our life to a vapor. You know, in the morning, you see that steam coming up off of a pond, but it's only an hour or two and that vapor is gone. Psalms 90 compares our lives to a story that is told. How long does it take to tell a story? Not very long. That's what our lives are like. Psalms 39 compares our life to the width of our hand. Let's turn to Psalms 39. We're going to want to read a few verses from there for our message this morning. Psalms 39. Our lives are very brief. Psalms 90 verse 10. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it shall soon be cut off, and we fly away. Very, very brief. I remember being younger. I could still consider myself young, but being younger than what I am now, you look at someone who is older, maybe 70 or 80 years old, and you just think it will take a long, long time till you're ever as old as that person is. But years have a way of slipping by, don't they? It doesn't take very long. You look up and you realize that you're halfway there, or more. And 70 and 80 doesn't seem quite so old anymore, does it? When you start thinking about how much farther you have to go until you reach that point. Whether it's a few breaths or the longest living person, Jeanette Calment, who lived 122 years and 164 days, it's still just a vapor. It's still just like a story. It's still very, very short. David said in Psalms 90, verse 12, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." It's important. That's why we're here this morning, is to think about our lives. We're preparing for eternity. That's what we're doing here on this earth. We've been given this short space called time, our lifetime, and we are preparing for eternity. That's what John D. Martin is calling us to think about in this psalm. It's what we're called to muse about. Let's read Psalms 39, verse 1 to 7. This is David speaking here. "I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man is at his best state, is altogether vanity. Selah. Surely every man walketh in vain. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee." I'd like to pull 3 points from this passage on things that we are to muse about. The first one I'd like to look at is in verse 1. It says, "I will take heed." The phrase "take heed" means that we're protecting, or we're watching out for our way. There's something here that is trying to get us. David said, I will take heed to my way. David realized that there was a force that was trying to distract him from his musing. And he says, I'm going to take heed. The devil wants to distract us. He doesn't want us to muse as David was doing here. He wants us to be distracted by all the things that this world has to offer. David recognized in verse 4 that he needed to be reminded that his days were short. He said, Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days. He needed that reminder that life here is short and that his days would come to an end. We tend to think of ourselves as indispensable and that we'll just be here tomorrow and the next day, and we plan that way, don't we? But we don't know how much time we have. David asked God to help him remember these facts. The devil doesn't want us to think deeply about our future. He wants to think about today. He doesn't want us to think about our end, as David was pointing out here. We don't use the word muse very often, but if we add the prefix a or a to the front of a word, it gives it a negative context, right? So you think about a muse. That's very familiar to us, isn't it? We see that all around us. People amusing themselves, distracting themselves from reality. That's what amusement does. When you're holding a baby that's crying and you're not sure what's wrong with it, you want it to stop crying, you try to amuse it. You try to distract it with a rattle or a book or make some noise or do something to try to amuse that child so that it will stop crying. We use something that the baby likes, baby enjoys, so that the reality that that child is facing at that point, whatever it is, whether it's its mom being away or it's hungry, we're trying to distract it from reality. So we try to amuse that child. There's amusement all around us. Are we musing? Or are we being amused? I'd like to think about that question throughout the message here this morning. There's not much amusement around us, is there? But there's lots of amusement. A few weeks ago was Super Bowl. 102 million people, according to some quick Google search, sat down in front of some kind of viewing device to watch a football game. A third of a nation, almost, sitting down, being amused by what was in front of them. In 2019, the average American spent $2,900 at amusement parks. That doesn't include what was spent on hunting, fishing, ATVs, movies, racing, vacations, and the list could go on and on and on of things that we do to amuse ourselves. Why are people spending so much money on amusement? They're trying to avoid reality, that focus on reality of that life is short and that it's going to end. They want to think about how good life is and how much fun it is and live it up. Amusement says, don't think about later. Enjoy yourself now. You only live once. Enjoy it to the fullest. That's what amusement says. But David was calling the focus here to the end of life and calling us to think about that. I found it interesting what the founders of Answers in Genesis had to say about the mission of the ark. I'll quote, it says, instead of being an amusement park, the ark encounter is actually designed to be a amusement park. We want attendees to think deeply about what they will witness while at the park. There will certainly be some entertaining aspects to the park, and visitors should enjoy their time, but we want to teach and challenge our guests with the authority of the scripture. We hope the opening of this amusement park will engage the hearts and mind of all who visit and cause them to think deeply, or muse, about one of the central messages of the ark and the flood, which is God's grace and mercy in the midst of much deserved judgment. I thought that was well said about an attraction. The mission statement is that it's not to distract you from reality, but to teach us the realities of the flood and the Bible and judgment to come. Like David here in Psalm 39, we need to think about what we are doing. Is what I'm doing today distracting me from thinking about who I am and what my end is? Are we trying to avoid that subject in our lives? Second thing I'd like to notice from David here is in verse 2. He says, I was dumb with silence, and I held my peace, even from good. David was simply quiet as he sat here and thought about his end, as he thought about God. Silent is not something we often experience, is it? Seems like in our age of media, there's always something that is making a noise, that is calling for our attention. If you pull up to a traffic light and you look around at the cars around you, almost everyone is distracted in one way or the other with electronic device, whether it's headphones or whatever it is. Everyone is listening to something. They're taking in something. And there are many good things to listen to today. We live in an age where media is so readily available. We can listen to sermons, songs, podcasts, and on and on. But David said he refrained from things that were even good. He says in verse 2, I held my peace even from good. David was just silent. He was just quiet. He put away the distractions and he just mused. He just thought deeply. Maybe I'm odd, but sometimes I enjoy just riding down the road in silence. I enjoy that quietness. We don't need to be listening to something or doing something all the time. When there's silence, silence with our mouth, silence with our hearts, then we can hear God. God can speak to us. If you think about the opportunity that God has to speak to you, when is it? Is it when you're riding in your vehicle? Is it when you're having your personal worship? Maybe it's singing songs such as this one. But when does God have the opportunity to speak to you? We pray and talk to him, but when does he talk to us? And he speaks in a variety of ways. But in the silence, God can speak to us. The third thing I'd like to notice from David here is that it's very basic, that he thought. He mused. David was there just thinking, and then a fire began to burn in his heart. And it came out in words after a time. He thought about God, thought about who David was. He thought about his mortality. He thought about God's immortality and how great God was. David thought about his end. David thought about his inadequacy. He thought about the vanities of this life. It says in verse 6, he heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. He realized his mortality. Now think about entertainment. Entertainment is much like amusement, but maybe a few slight differences. Entertainment means amusement or diversion provided especially by performers. A synonym of entertainment is distraction or diversion. Entertainment. When we're being entertained, the entertainer is holding our attention, whatever that is. We're focused on what he or she is doing, and we're distracted from thinking our own thoughts, normally. A good entertainer is one that can capture your attention and then keep it. Keep the audience's attention. When we are being entertained, basically the entertainer is doing the thinking for us. He is asking for our attention, and we're basically putting our minds in neutral and allowing ourselves to be entertained. And there are some exceptions to that, but normally when we are being entertained, that's what's happening. Let's think about this. Next time we are watching a video, what is happening while I'm watching that video? Is the video producing thoughts that are leading me somewhere, or am I just being entertained by this video? Am I being just putting my mind in neutral and laughing and being amused or entertained by what's happening in front of me? And there's lots of examples we could look at when we're thinking about being entertained. But I just one came to mind. I thought of Dude Perfect. What is happening when you watch a Dude Perfect video? You're simply kicking your mind in neutral and you're being entertained. There's lots of educational videos. How to. Yesterday I was doing some flooring in my house. I didn't know how to do it. Where do we go? YouTube. Look at how to do flooring. There's lots of videos on how to do flooring. It's teaching you something. Just throw that out there as a caution. Are we being entertained? Are we musing or being amused? This morning we're not talking about New Age meditation. We're not looking to pull something from within ourselves to make ourselves great, or to pull power from within ourselves, or connect with some mystical power. No, we know who the power is. We know who we're thinking about. We're musing of our mortality and an immortal God. David was not in some kind of trance here in Psalms 39. He was not trying to escape reality. His mind was engaged and active, and he was thinking about the realities of life and who he was and who God is. So what are some things that we should muse about? Job 37, verse 14 says, this is Elihu talking here to Job. He says, "Hearken unto this, O Job, and stand still, and consider the wondrous works of God." Another word the Bible uses for muse is consider. Job was in the middle of a terrible situation here. He lost everything. He lost all of his livestock. He had lost all of his children. He had lost all of his dignity, been stripped from him. His body was covered in boils. On top of all that, he had some friends come to see him, and they told him everything that he was doing wrong. And then Elihu gave him this advice: consider the wondrous works of God. When we find ourselves in a desperate situation, we do well to take Elihu's advice to Job. There's a stabilizing factor in just thinking about who God is. Even though there's trouble going on in our life, when we stop and think about who God is, it stabilizes us and draws us to him. David said, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" Think about the wondrous works of God. This morning, when Jason asked for a testimony, I was a little surprised that no one said anything. I know we're sometimes at different levels of enthusiasm, but I used to go to church with an old pastor. He said you should either have a testimony or a confession, one or the other. Consider the wondrous works of God. Second thing we need to ponder is the path of our feet. Proverbs 4, verse 26 says, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established." We need to stop and think about the path that we're on. We need to ask ourselves the question, what path am I on, and will it take me where I want to go? When you load a GPS, I hope you don't just blindly follow it, but first of all, you look at that overall view. Is it taking me where I want to go? Yes, it is, so then I'm willing to follow it. This morning, we need to ponder the path of our feet. Am I going to end up where I want to be? Just for a few verses, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Talks about the two ways here, the two paths. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Very familiar verses. It says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it." But there's a wide way too, isn't there? The easy way. There's two paths with two different destinations. We get to choose. The straight gate is so narrow that only a few will find it, it says here. But that destination is life. It brings life. Solomon here in Proverbs is telling us to think about this. The devil wants us to be distracted by the comforts of the easy road. He wants to see all the freedoms of the easy road. Everything this world has to offer. He doesn't want us to think about the destination. Because if we think about the destination, we're obviously not going to be on that road. The devil knows that. So he distracts us with different things. We talked about some of those. Flipping back to Psalms 39, the third thing we need to think about is our mortality. We need to think about just how mortal we really are. We're just a heartbeat away from death all the time. We are so frail. We breathe in, and one day, each of us will draw our last breath. That will be the end. For Brother Musselman, it was yesterday, and he is now with his Maker. That will be all of us someday. The Lord doesn't come back first. A theme throughout the Bible is all flesh is as grass. It's here today and cut off tomorrow. We sing that song, what will it be like to know our next step will be heaven's portal. We're just one step away from that all the time. And we need to consider that. We need to muse over that. That's what this song is calling us to, and also David in Psalms 39. We'd like to think we're a little bit more than grass, wouldn't we? But that's really all we are. We're just dust that God breathed life into. And one day that life will be taken. Psalms 39, verse 4, the fourth thing we need to consider, and we've mentioned this already, but our end. We need to think about our end. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says, and it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. That's everyone. There's no one that's going to escape that. The devil doesn't care how he distracts us from that thought. Whether it's YouTube or the beautiful house on 25 acres or the car or the prosperous business, whatever. Those are all just distractions that can catch us. The devil doesn't care how he distracts us. He just doesn't want us to think about the road that we're on and that we are mortal. The last thing I'd like to consider here this morning is the life to come. Here in Psalms 39, verse 7, David said, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. This is a good thing for us to consider as well. Thinking about the life to come, that's what wait means, is to look for and hope for. David was looking forward to this day. He put his hope in God. The hope that we have through Jesus Christ. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Some very encouraging verses, inspiring verses here from 1 Corinthians. Verse 15. I want to read verse 19 first, and then we'll read 51 through 57. Verse 19 of chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. In this life only, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Let's skip over to verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall we be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need to fear our end. As we think about our end, and we muse over who I am and where I'm going, it doesn't need to produce fear in our life because of Jesus. It says here in verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have that promise that when this body wears out and we leave it here and go on, there's hope for us. Eternal life is ours to enjoy today, but we will experience it to its fullest extent in the future. Verse 58 points out that we're not there yet. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We're not ready for that yet. Our time here on earth is not over. We're still in this narrow span of time that John D. was talking about. We need to keep on. warring against our flesh, choosing the right path, and preparing for eternity. Just in closing, I read a few more verses from Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 15 through 20. These are verses that inspired this song. Verse 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." I read these verses as Paul's reminder to stay focused on what really matters, because time is short. The sand is going through that glass. He says, walk circumspectly. Redeem the time. Make use of the time. Don't be drunk. Don't be distracted. Be filled with the Spirit. Encourage each other. Be thankful for what Christ has done for us. So this morning, let's keep our minds focused on the realities of this life. Not be distracted by the amusements and the entertainment that this world has to offer. Let's keep our mind focused. I'd like to leave you with this question this morning. Are we musing, or are we being amused? Let's pray.